Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, I'm Alex Hoban, winner of Series 1 of Channel 4's The Circle, and this is Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. Each episode, we indulge in some dishonest fun with a panel of celebrities, comedians, and experts as we explore the light and the shade of human interaction. Spoiler alert, if you haven't been watching Season 3 of The Circle, what are you doing? Make sure you go and watch it on all four first before we give the whole game away. We are nearly a week into this season. Groups are forming left, right, and centre. So today, we're talking about tribes. What is a tribe and how do you get in one? From WhatsApp groups to Twitter stands, today, we're looking at what brings people together. Hoping to form a strong team bond today, we have returning celeb circler and boy band member from Blue. It's Duncan James. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
We've got Season 2 Circler and Absolute Circle Goddess, Ella May. How are you doing?
Hiya, I am all gravy. How are you?
Good, thank you. And we've got the resident neuroscientist, Ashram Pura. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
So, guys, we kick off every podcast the same, but today I'm going to put a little spin on it. You'll be relieved to know, Duncan, after the last one. We've got a game where you guys are going to give me the weirdest and most niche group you've ever been a part of, whatever that may be. It could be a Facebook group from back in the day, a members-only website, wink, wink, or a real-life fan club. The weirdest answer will win. Ella, take it away.
Okay, this is pretty weird. I'm allowed to have started this group. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Okay, just go with me here. It's all right. Friday morning, grape choking. Do you want any context to that? Or
did you say grape choking?
Yeah, which sounds sexual, but it isn't. It was actually... Should I give context or maybe yes. Just leave it?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So I was at work once a wee while ago, back in the day, and I was really bored and I was snacking on grapes on a Friday morning. And I came up with this game, which was like, who can pretend to choke on the grape the best? So like the most theatric, dramatic sound effects rolling on the floor. And I did it with a mate, and then loads of colleagues were like, this actually looks really fun. So we started this group called the Friday Morning Grape Choking. And we did it every Friday. And it was a riot, I tell you.
Could you please give us an example, Ella?
Shall I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to pretend to choke on a grape, though. So you've got to be talking. And then you go, oh my God, I got.
That's very persuasive. I would definitely have given
it's
you the Heimlich.
It's the best fun. And people went wild. Like, we got like the whole office involved. And it makes me sound like I'm absolutely mental. But, you know, it passed
That's
the time.
So good.
And
That's
it was
so
fun.
Good. I mean, I'm kind of tempted to get everyone to pretend to choke on a grape now, but
Can
it's putting people
it?
Under pressure. Duncan, what's the weirdest group that you've ever been a part of?
It's called Blue.
I'm so hoping you were going to say that.
You know, there's weird members like Lee Ryan, who's just odd. Yeah, there's enough said about that. And then, of course, you've got Mr. Costa, who's just... he's just weird. And a Mr. Webb, who's kind of like a cool weird. So in general, and me, of course, it's just a very weird group to be a part of.
And travel the world with at times and perform with. Ash, give us your weird
I'm so embarrassed by mine. Now that I've heard, they've got really good stories. And mine is just really stupid. But do you guys remember Atari computers? Like from ages ago, video game machines?
Yes, Atari 64.
Okay, for about 5 minutes in human history, Atari made like actual computers in the early days of computers. And I was in a group called MVACE, which was the Miami Valley Atari Computer Enthusiasts. I grew up in Ohio. And we actually had, this is so embarrassing, we had shirts and a little logo with a little ace on it. Yeah. And and we would get together. I was a little kid. I mean, I was sort of 14, maybe younger than that. And I would carry the computer under my arms, and my mom refused to take me. So I would sort of get the school bus, and I'd get to the thing. And like every weekend, we would get it was the biggest. It was even geekier than I can see you're all imagining right now. It was that and worse.
I would not expect anything less from a neuroscientist.
Yeah, we even went to a convention. in Washington D.C. with all of the other Atari computer enthusiasts in America, all sort of seven of the other ones who were into it.
I was going to say,
and all eight of us got together. It was a great time. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, so all of you have amazing facts, but the weirdest one has got to be the grape choking. you actually were very convincing in your depiction as well, so you clearly are very experienced at it. So anyway, guys, we're talking about tribes today, and I wanted to start with you, Ash. And in the first episode of Dishonest Fun, the psychologist Alex Krotowski spoke to us about how first impressions are really important because they allow us to identify who's part of our tribe. So I just wanted to ask you, like, why humans so tribal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the so first of all, forming tribes is something that we do just absolutely spontaneously. There's a thing called the minimal group phenomenon. It's the idea that if you have a bunch of people walk in a building and you just number everyone as they come in, so you're one, you're two, you're three, you're four, and you just say, okay, odd people on one side, even people on the other, suddenly people will identify that it really matters that I'm in the odd group. Or like my son's in school, there's a red group and a blue group, and it's really important to him whether he's in the red group or the blue group. So I think we form tribes absolutely spontaneously on the basis of, it doesn't even take a bit, it could be on the basis of anything. And I think that the reason we do it is that it's kind of critical to our survival. You know, as humans, we have to work together. And when we take a collective action, you've got to trust the people you're taking an action with. So you sort of form a tribe as a way of, sometimes you give up your own individual interests in favor of the group. And you'll only do that if you're a member of a tribe. So I think that's probably a big reason.
I mean, yeah, I think it reminds me of like being picked for the football team at school and how you had to feel like you wanted to be on that. If you were left at the end, you're like, I'm devastated.
Not part of the tribe.
Yeah. Duncan, Blue has sold over 15 million records worldwide, so you've got a very loyal fan base. What was that tribe like? And do you have any crazy fan stories that you can tell us?
It's quite interesting, actually, because we used to call them the Blue Army. They were like our tribe, the Blue Army. They even had their own little website, and they used to like followers, and they even set up like a fan club and all sorts. It was lovely, actually. And the most surreal, I think, the way it grew for us in Italy was, there was this great big square in Milan. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there they had a film studio up there for MTV. And we used to have to go up into this film studio and walk out onto the balcony overlooking this square in Milan. And all the fans would be there. And I remember the first time we went there, there was probably about maybe 15, 16 fans outside with little banners when we walked out onto the balcony. And we thought, oh my God, that's really cute. We got like some little Italian fans. And then we came back like a year later, and we walked out onto the balcony, and the whole square was full of fans. And we just walked out, and we were like, I feel like Madonna or Evita. Do you know what I mean? When she was in Evita, when you just walk out to the balcony. It was the most surrealist thing ever. And you just, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people just screaming and waving your banner. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen in my life. It's crazy.
Music's amazing how it can like bring people together and make them feel part of something like that. Yeah. I mean, 15 million people have bought your record and they probably all feel some affiliation to you, like those people did in Milan in the square at that time.
Yeah, it was honestly one of the most incredible feelings. It was, again, another pinch yourself moment. It was just... It was surreal. Mm. I think if I went to Italy now and stood in there, I probably wouldn't get any fans.
Yeah. Well, there's even like a tribe formed on this podcast. Sorry, Ash, that you're left out, but three of us have been on the circle. So we know yeah. like the magic of the circle and the people that work on it and the after parties and all of that stuff. We know the kind of vibe there. Ellie, on your series of the circle, series two, you essentially were the victim of a tribal move by a group of people and were voted off by a tribe.
Yeah.
And so just to put it into context, there was a group formed in the circle by James, who was playing a single mum, Sammy. And so he was catfishing. And then he roped in Georgina and Paddy to form this like gang. And they worked together to essentially try and win the show and vote people out. And Ella, unfortunately, was the first victim of that. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about the circle of trust.
I, at the time and still now, like, I'm not resentful for it at all, because the only time I'm angry is if someone's doing something that they shouldn't have or if I've done something wrong. And ultimately, they were playing a great game, so that's fine, you know, good on them. And I wouldn't have changed anything. Like, if I could redo it, I wouldn't have done it differently. I think I was quite trusting, and I'm not... Although I have like a tribe of friends, and you obviously fall into like the surface level tribes, like I like Harry Potter, I support Chelsea, you know, all those like we're that shite. But like, you know, I am quite a kind of independent person who likes to dot around and make friends here and there and like meet different kinds of people and not feel like I'm in an echo chamber. And I was having the absolute time of my life being like, this surely is the worst TV ever if it's just loads of people making friends.
Yeah.
So I was always in the back of my head, like, I'm not, you know, stupid. I had like this huge gut feeling, like, this surely isn't what everyone's doing. And I kept thinking, like, who are these people? And I was quite shy, I guess, in the catfish. And I wasn't really that bothered, even if you were one. But, it definitely, something didn't feel right. And again, I don't regret it, honestly. It's not really, in a funny way, because I was a victim on reality TV, it's actually served me really well in the outside world, because people love, if you come across well, you know, people aren't mean to you because, you know what I mean? They feel sorry. I don't know what it is, but they are really lovely. Whereas I know that for people who were in the Circle of Trust, it's not been as easy as that.
It's interesting, that bit.
And also, I know it's a game show, and obviously I would have liked to have won the money. I mean, I'm not crazy, but I wasn't there to win the money. And it doesn't take away from my experience. Like, I got really far. I was really proud. I made some, like, great mates. I think the only thing that for me really like freaks me out was when we had that, there was this final chat when you're about to be blocked, you go into a chat and it's usually pretty nice. It's like, you did so well, love you, you should be really proud of yourself. Like, if anyone goes, like, love yous. And it's all really like nice and happy and sweet. And I remember Sammy or James was like, oh, I'm just thinking of Charlie and his cot. And like, you know, and it was just like, it got, when I realised it afterwards, I was like, fuck, this is like...
It's a bit of a mind
This is hardcore. And it like, really makes you overthink it. But I do, I really got on with... I mean, I still call him Sammy because I just don't know him any other way. But I still get on with James/Sammy.
What's the nicest community you guys have been a part of? So we'll start with you, Ash. And obviously your Atari background, but is there anything else maybe in your career or something?
Well, I think, you know, I used to work in the emergency room a lot, A&E, in the hospital, and I loved it. And it's because it is really, that is very tribal. It's a really difficult thing to work in A&E. You've got paramedics, you've got nurses, you've got staff coming in, you've got secretaries. It's a very fast-moving environment, and people really depend on each other to do their job well. And it's the nicest feeling. I mean, actually, like, when I think about my clinical work, you know, it's great to be a part of a team that functions like that. And so, that was the most fun. And you feel really energized with those people. Like, you can go a 12, 14, 16-hour shift, and you're just kind of pumped to be with them. So yeah, I loved that. Yeah, it was great. That was great fun.
So inspirational to hear that. And so I'm going to throw you under the bus here, Ella. Ella is a massive Blue fan, Duncan.
Yeah.
And
really?
I just want to know, have you ever been part of a Blue community, Ella?
You know what? I'm throwing back. Babe, you have no idea. I found this hilarious. I actually messaged Alex being like, surely not. This feels like you've done this on purpose for Tribes. No, you and Busted were like my jam. And like that was the closest... I've never been, obviously, as I've grown up, I think there's something about prepubescent girls. They just like, I don't know what it is, man. It's the same with like One Direction and I don't, you know, but like they all, it's like this weird thing. I mean, you and Busted, I have like t-shirts.
I love that.
The glory days.
That's so sweet.
At primary school, just bopping to Blue, like, which is just very full circle. Excuse the pun.
Being famous, Duncan, like to the extent that you guys are and were, do you find it harder to find your tribe because of people's perhaps alternate incentives to being friendly with you, or you see what I mean?
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, I went through a stage of being really trusting and really open and honest with lots of people and taking people what they said on face value. And then I realized, actually, you can't do that in this industry. And then I went through a stage of being really not wanting to trust anybody. And I had a few things happen to me over the years where I felt like people had shitted on me, people that I thought were really good friends, people that I thought were part of my tribe. And you just think, wow, they really weren't. And I made such a bad judgment. And then you go into a stage of being a little bit more inclusive and handpick your tribe. Mm. And now I'm 42 years old and I stick with the handful of people that I know and trust. And those people are, I guess, my proper tribe, you know, my people.
I think, you know, Duncan's bringing up something really, really interesting, which is that when you're in a tribe, like you asked at the beginning, like why do humans form tribes? And one of the reasons is for trust, because when Duncan forms a tribe of friends and, you know, you trust them and you sort of think because they're in the tribe, you no longer, you've already decided whether they're in the tribe or not. You've put in the time to make that decision. Once they're in, you sort of think, I no longer need to go on checking whether to trust them. And then when someone violates that trust, it is so unbelievably painful. When your expectations about your tribe are violated, I think that is really, it really cuts. And I think this is why we have tribes, though, so we can completely let our guard down and we sort of know we can predict what someone's going to do because they're in the group.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's check in with what our lovely Season 3 Circle players are up to with a clip of the Geezer Gals, aka Tali and Manrika, trying to suss out new arrival Dorothy, aka Scott. We've edited this clip together and we're going to have a listen and see what they're up to.
Has invited you to a private chat. My gal, I'm here for it. Circle message. Hey, my gorgeous geezer gal. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the newbies, ? I know old people better than anyone from my work.
I can't help but be sceptical about old Dot. Do you know what? I can't help but think the same thing. Message. Hey, gal, I'm so glad you started this chat with me. I'm literally on the same page as you, laughing face emoji. Brackets, great minds. Her bio seems a bit easy. I think we need to get to know her a bit better first. Shall we invite her into our chat? Let's do this and add her in.
Tali has invited you to a group chat. Oh, okay. Oh, tally ho, let's go.
Circle message. I saw that you retired and I'm dying to know what you did before. Love heart emoji, send.
My nan actually worked for the Ministry of Defence, which is quite interesting. And it's also quite believable because no one could make that up. So message, Tally, I used to work for the MOD, comma, it was a fascinating job, but very secretive. Full stop, send.
She's a catfish. I'm gutted that she's not real. I feel like Tally knows for a fact she's chatting shit.
My opinion on Dorothy has changed a little bit after talking to her. I definitely feel more inclined to think that she is actually an 85-year-old lady.
We've got two people who think they're part of the same tribe and they've made this tribe the Geezer Girls and think they're thinking the same, but then when they're talking in reality, they're actually thinking very separate things.
I mean, I think it's a really, really interesting clip because one of the things, you know, like we were saying, one of the things that you get from a tribe is the ability to predict what someone else will be thinking and what someone else will do. That's kind of one of the signifiers of the tribe. And it's really, it's interesting how, so, you know, very often we're wrong about that. And maybe we're not wrong about membership in the tribe. We're kind of wrong about what it means to be a member of the tribe. So, you know, there's an idea in neuroscience called, it's called social metacognition. It's the idea that you could know what someone else is thinking. So, you know, metacognition is knowing what you're thinking, and then social metacognition is knowing what someone else is thinking. Wow. And so being in a tribe is kind of a shortcut to that. So if you tell me that you're, you know, whatever, an Atari computer enthusiast, like maybe I kind of know some of the things you think about. I know some of your values. I can predict what you might do in a novel situation, but it only goes so far. And when we're wrong, it can be kind of jarring, I think.
I guess a question from that clip is joining up with others a good way of winning the circle? Because in my opinion, it's not. There's only going to be one winner. And sometimes, obviously, you've got to use people to get there in the end, but it doesn't seem to be a good strategy from my experience. Duncan, what do you think?
I can only talk about my time in the circle, which wasn't too long, but I had the mindset of wanting to try to do the group chats and befriend that person and try to become as nice as possible. So they build up trust with me, they like me, and they will save me. But it didn't really work that way. And then, of course, everybody is analyzing everything you write. So there's always a message behind the message. And so you might think that you're writing something that you think you're coming from, you're being genuine and you're actually being truthful, but that person might read it as, oh no, this is definitely a catfish. Mm. So it's just so weird. And I think when you've been in the circle, it even a dot, 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 you just start analysing a bloody dot, dot, dot. And it's the most craziest thing ever. It's like, oh my God, they wrote dot, dot, dot. What does that mean? What does it mean? Why do they? I don't understand the dot, dot, dot. And you just start, honestly, and you just spend hours in your own head. It's just so weird. I came out of the show and I was just like, it's the most insane show I've ever been a part of. Yeah. But what a brilliant show. What an amazing experiment.
It's such a clever
show, a mind game. You know, it's incredible. I was just blown away by it.
It seems that on the circle, and we're coming towards the end now, but it seems that on the circle, people regress into this basic way of thinking about boy and girl splits, because it's a common theme across every, it's like girls got to stick together. We've got a lads chat. Mm. What's your thoughts, Ash, on sort of the gender tribes that people find?
I mean, basically, I think that people sort themselves into tribes in the easiest way at first. And gender is a very obvious way. Race is a very obvious way. Maybe age, maybe nationality. But these things don't last very long. Like these immediate splits when people come in. So that's like, you know, we have such a strong tendency to want to be in a tribe that like, so we do the first thing when you come in the door. And then as things evolve and you develop kind of a kinship relationship, like you feel understood by someone, then that trumps all of this other stuff. But you start somewhere, you know, and so I just think that the way people look is sort of the first thing that you start with.
Ella, I saw you shaking your head. Give me your view.
I've always, regardless of the circle, I've hated this gender normative thing that people do. I hate it because one, it just feeds into that gender stereotype, the lads chat, you know, let's go finger some birds, drink some pints, like it's just so, like, no, do you know what I mean? It's like a caricature of like a man. Mm. Whereas as women as well, it's like this assumption that they like beauty and this, and all we talk about is boys, and it's just not true. Like women and men can be very multifaceted. Like I've, you know, I never wanted to be associated with any gender because I like football and I like this, but I also like this, and I'm not like a stereotypical woman who wants to be pigeonholed as such. But I do find it really frustrating. I hate it in my real life and I hated it on The Circle because...
I hated it because... Sharpish,
there's actually nothing there. You're just like riding a stereotype.
I ended up in these chats about snatching eyebrows and Little Mix. And I was like, okay, guys, seriously, this isn't what women talk about, because I know I've been around my girlfriend. She doesn't have this conversation. They're like, oh, what do you think of the boys? And little, and I'm like, you're trying to stitch me up here. Duncan, what do you think?
It's really interesting what Ellie was saying. You know, I think we are programmed, especially in my day when I was at school, for instance. I was never a lad's lad. I hated football. And I used to be in fear because I didn't want people to like bully me because they thought I was gay or whatever. And at that age, I probably didn't understand my sexuality then, but I just knew that I was probably more effeminate than I was more masculine. You know, I'd rather hang out with the girls in the lunch break than I would going and playing football with the boys. And I think as a kid, you just kind of, you just want to fit in with a group, don't you? You want to be accepted somewhere. But of course, then the boys used to hate on me and call me all sorts of names and bully me. And then you know, you go through your kind of adult life carrying a lot of that baggage that you had from when you were a child. And then you kind of feel a bit like, especially I did when I got into Blue, you know, I didn't want to come out because I was frightened to come out because I had that fear that was installed in me from when I was a kid at school. You know, what are people going to say if they know actually the truth? And it's so strange because eventually when I took that leap of faith and I did come out and I did say, you know, hey, I'm gay, the relief that came off it. I just felt all of a sudden then, I just then fitted in and I found my tribe and I was like, amazing. Okay. And I found so many people coming up to me, other people, celebrities and stuff who also were in the LGBTQ plus community were supporting me and showing me love. And then I felt, actually, I have now found my place. And it doesn't matter if I like football or if I like going to have facials. It doesn't matter. Sure. Do you know what I mean?
That's an incredible story. Like, it's so nice to hear. It's like really inspirational. And if anyone out there's worried about finding their tribe and... just go for it. That's what I would say.
There's always a tribe for you. That's for damn sure. Even if you don't think there is one and your like upbringing might make you think like Duncan that you have to fit in a certain tribe. If you have that bravery of like stepping outside of it and gaining your own independence and self-worth, there's a tribe for you, baby. That's 100%. For damn sure.
And if you can't find one, come and join the Dishonest Fun tribe because we'll have you and we love you.
Open arms. Always open
forever. Arms, baby.
Yes.
I think one of the key things when you talk about finding your tribe is that you find your tribe. You don't change yourself to fit into a tribe. You find a resonance with other people. And so there's something about you that already does fit in a tribe. And I think Ella said that really beautifully, that there is a tribe. There is a tribe for everyone. There are probably many tribes that everybody fits into, but it's a matter of finding them and not kind of becoming them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's 100%.
If you're listening to this podcast today and you're actually not sure what tribe you fit into, if you don't understand or you just don't know where you fit into, just keep shining bright and your tribe will find you.
That's like, I love like that. Gandhi.
Jesus. I feel so warm inside. Duncan, you are impeccable. You're like a man of wisdom.
King Dunk.
Okay, guys, that's all we've got time for today, unfortunately. I'd love to keep speaking with you guys, who I feel like are my tribe at the moment.
Aww.
Thank you so much, Ella, Duncan and Ash. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you guys on.
You all rock.
Thanks so much,
love
Alex.
It was really nice to spend time with you guys.
Thank you so much for joining me on Dishonest Fun, the official Circle podcast. New episodes will be dropping on you like Circle alerts, so to keep updated, make sure you subscribe and let us know if you're enjoying it by leaving us a review. We'd really appreciate that. Of course, the rest of the Circle Series 3 is going out on Channel 4 all this week. And the next time I see you, we'll be exploring something which I have a lot of experience in. It's catfishing! Thanks, guys. See you soon.